This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After Jesus said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, Jesus' disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So a couple weeks back, I was at a training for Together New Orleans, and as often happens, when I meet new people and they find out I am a pastor, I was asked, why? Why am I a pastor? Now, the full answer to that question is so long and involves so many different facets of my life that it is hard to be succinct. So, I usually talk about how important our inclusive and loving theology of grace is. How I feel so called to share the understanding and experience of the God of steadfast love who loves us so much, he dies for us. And I often talk about the biblical grounding for social justice and care of our communities and how I want to share that with others. My go-to is often to talk about what I believe. And while this is very important and is an essential reason for why I am a pastor, in all honesty, it is not why I am here. Really good theology and biblical understanding is not the primary reason why I am a person of faith. I am a person of faith because of my relationships with other people of faith. When I was young, my family moved to a new state, and it was a very hard adjustment for me. I was thrown into a class with students who had known each other their entire lives, and I was the outsider. I got my first pair of glasses at 7 years old at a time when kids were merciless about calling you four eyes. I lacked coordination, still do, and rhythm, still do, and so did not fit in with the athletes or with the musical kids. I had a lot of doubts about myself and my place in the world. I was self-conscious and lacking in confidence in pretty much every way possible. And the only places I felt that I really belonged were in my family and at my church. At church, I could run around and play and be myself. At church, people encouraged me to be an usher and then to be a reader. At church, even with my lack of rhythm, I was accepted as a part of the handbell choir. At church, my pastor and others saw gifts in me and found ways to nurture them. It was at church that people believed in me when I did not believe in myself. And then in the community of working at a Lutheran summer camp, I was given the brave space to set aside my doubts and really start to believe in who I am. I led songs, even having to try to clap on beat, and acted in skits. I led Bible studies and started giving my first sermons. I took care of campers who were up all night with homesickness, and campers who were growing in their faith and asking questions about the Bible. And these two communities of faith, church and camp, I was surrounded by people who loved me unconditionally and who created a space where the love of God let me set aside all of my self-doubts and grow. I am a person of faith because other people of faith met me in my disbelief about myself, and they loved me, just as Jesus does. It was not really good theology and biblical studies that called me to be a person of faith. So I wonder why we often interpret Thomas the way that we do. We call him Doubting Thomas, as if some really good theology could have convinced him to believe. If the other disciples had just done their homework, they could have quoted scripture, all the different places in the Bible that foretell of Jesus' resurrection. They could have convinced Thomas with their sound biblical argument. And if that didn't work, they could have referred to all of Jesus' teachings. I mean, Jesus had been telling them all along that he was going to die and rise from the dead. If Thomas had just been a better student, a better disciple, he would have believed the words of his teacher and the theology of resurrection. Or maybe Thomas just needed some really good doctrine. If only the Apostles' Creed had been written then, or better yet, the Nicene Creed or the Athanasian. Surely Thomas would have laid aside his doubts if someone had simply presented a convincing enough argument. After all, that's why we all believe, right? How many of you are a person of faith because you read the Athanasian Creed and it just really spoke to you? How about the Nicene Creed? The apostles? No. Or are any of you a person of faith because someone debated the Bible with you, and they won you over with their sound logic and quotation of scripture. Or did you sit through a systematic theology class? Or even a Lutheran Theology 101, and it was like the heavens opened, and suddenly you believed? Maybe some of you, maybe those fellow theology and Bible nerds who are sitting out there. Maybe. But I would wager that it was not a theological argument that got you to believe for the first time. I would wager that it was another person of faith who welcomed you, who cared for you, who extended the love of Jesus Christ to you. Thomas does not need doctrine, biblical debate, or even really good theology to believe. What he needs is what Jesus gives him. When Jesus appears in that room, he does so just for Thomas. Everyone else has already seen Jesus. Like the good shepherd that he is, Jesus comes back just for this one lost lamb. And Jesus doesn't quote scripture at Thomas. He enters into this really intimate and gentle moment. Peace be with you. Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. I wonder if in that moment, everything else just melted away. The presence of the other disciples being locked away in this room, all of the fear Thomas has been feeling for his life and for his safety, the doubts he carried about the trajectory of his life from now on. I mean, who is he without Jesus? His questioning over his decision to follow Jesus in the first place. Was it all for nothing? Thomas is not doubting doctrine. He is doubting who he is and his place in this world. And when Jesus comes to see him, to lovingly be in relationship with him, all those doubts just melt away. My Lord and my God, Thomas says. It was relationship with Jesus that Thomas needed. And that is exactly what Jesus gave him. My siblings, as you seek to share the good news this Easter season, do not lead with doctrine, with theological arguments, with the quoting of scripture. I doubt very much that's why any of us became people of faith. We are here because other people of faith extended the love of Jesus Christ to us. Because through other people, Jesus meets us in our disbelief and in our doubts about ourselves, about our place in the world, about our purpose, about our worthiness. And in all that disbelief and doubt, Jesus gives us peace and tells us we are loved. As important as good theology and biblical understanding is, and believe you me, it is very, very important. It's essential in the grounding of our faith. As important as that is, we do not lead with that. We lead with a loving relationship with Jesus. So, share the good news of the resurrection by being unconditionally loving with one another and with everyone you meet. For it is in experiencing the love of Christ that we believe. Amen.